present of the new society. You may be charged with the superficial responsibility as the head of the protection company to protect a great many people's interests and so forth, but it'll always still come back to the fact that you're looking for a way of warding them off of you, and if they fall onto your neighbor in the process, so be it. Your neighbor will have to suffer the consequences for his inability to cope with it, and the only way he'll ever improve is by recognizing those consequences, and he may have to see them to do so. But it'll still come back to the fact that you are acting as an individual, and your first and primal concern always will be with yourself and not with the societal structure. And the only way you'll create even a better societal structure to get the secondary benefits is one at a time, as you can make a contract with your next-door neighbor that is better than what you had before and gives you more protection than you had before from the guy that you're so worried about. And this is all I can say on the subject because it's the only thing that it seems to me to be realistic. And I'm also saying don't bite off more than is relevant or practical. If you really believe freedom won't come in your lifetime, then why even bother with it, unless you think that your particular course of action directed at it will work in degree, so that you can appreciate every step that you make along the way. But if you're working on an all-or-nothing basis that we either get it or we don't, and it probably won't happen till long after I'm dead, then just what kind of an interest can you possibly have in it? What can be your motivation, other than an intellectual stimulation, which can be a very good motivation as a consumption value? It's fun to congregate among freedom-loving people. It's even fun sometimes to talk about what louses there are that are trying to take it away from us. But it's a consumption value. Yes?
I have one question. You said there are 13 ways that a decision can be perverted. Well, are there 13 ways that a decision can be made? I can't seem to work from a negative viewpoint. I like to give me 13 ways of making a decision.
Well, according to your logic, I've got to give you 14.
That's fine.
Or else you'll choose to take the perversion. No, what I did, I think, what I had in mind, at any rate, was in session 3 to outline the elements that go into a decision so that they can be identified and weighed, and then the basis upon which the decision can be made, with your well-being in mind, with the reward, the risk, the price, all of these things taken into consideration realistically. And then I said there are 13 different ways that you can pervert your decision by taking into consideration something other than your own relevant well-being. So whether I said there was one way or 20 ways or 100 ways, they were simply ways that I think it would be easy to fall into without thinking it out. And if I had thought of 20 ways that I think might have had some relevance to the individuals in this room, meaning that they may have fallen for them at some time, I would have used all 20. If I could only think of one way that I think would apply here, I would have only said one, even though I could think of 12 ways that other less thoughtful people might fall into traps. In fact, there were lots of them that occurred to me that I left out because I didn't really think anybody in this room would be likely to fall into them. So the number of them is not really that important. It was just simply identifying ways that can subtly sneak up on you. Does that answer the question?
Yes, that answers my question. I usually fall into these traps, see? What I want to do is get a little more positive direction.
Well, I would suggest then, the only thing I can suggest at this point is to go back and study the first part of session 3, the notes that you have there, because that was the positive part. Yes, Mr. Lehrer.
I was thinking about what our friend had on the other side. Recently, when we had the reports of the cold back in the east, and of the public life almost coming to a still stand, I was thinking, my God, how happy we are here, really, in California, in particular, to not have to allocate any of our limited resources to fighting the cold.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I have a shop that is quite open, so I don't have to put on the heater. And in fact, I just open the doors in the morning and it's nice and warm, comfortable all day long. Wow. Now, if even one goes ahead thinking how much resources you have to apply to fight off the cold in making things that you manufacture and then be able to deliver them in conjunction with all the things that you have to apply during the manufacturing process, such as putting on finish that you can only or should, or glue, I got a furniture, that you only should do it on a certain temperature. It is marvelous what sense of freedom we have.